Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 8, day 3 of the study of 1 Samuel. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1 Samuel 23, 1 through 14. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I encourage you to go to 10weekbible.com and download the reading list for 1 Samuel and follow along reading or listening to it 10 times in 10 weeks. If you're listening in the United States, you know just how uncertain the times that we're living in are. If you've been wondering what you can do but don't know where to start, I encourage you to go to 714prayer.org and find out what a difference praying for our nation twice a day for just 1 minute can make. Let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Would you give us revelation into your word? In Jesus' name, amen. With that, let's jump into God's word today. We're going to be reading from the NIV. This is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1. When David was told, "Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are looting the threshing floors," he inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" The Lord answered him, "Go, attack the Philistines and save Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Here in Judah we are afraid. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the Philistine forces?" Once again David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him, "Go down to Keilah, for I am giving the Philistines into your hand." So David and his men went to Keilah, fought against the Philistines, and carried off their livestock. He inflicted heavy losses on the Philistines and saved the people of Keilah. Now Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, had brought the ephod down with him when he fled to save to David at Keilah. So understand what's going on here. We're separating ourselves a little bit from the narrative of Saul chasing David, which is what's been going on for the last several chapters. And now David has kind of taken out on his own. He's in some ways even a little bit just kind of given up on you know, becoming king or whatever for right now. And he's just kind of doing his own thing. He's got these men, which we're going to later find out are going to be about 600 men. That have come and surrounded David. We looked at who these guys were. They're kind of outcasts. They're a rough and tumble crowd. They're not the greatest crowd that you want around you, but it's who's gathered to David. People in debt, people disenfranchised with what's going on in the nation, or, you know, just not happy with, you know, what's happening. Maybe people with wandering feet, and they've come and they've surrounded David. And David has been trying desperately to stay out of Judah. He doesn't want to be there. He wants to be far away. And the Lord keeps on speaking through Gad the prophet and through other means and saying, "Go back to Judah," because this is the purpose that the Lord has for David. The Lord has anointed David king. Now, David is king. I mean, David has been anointed king in the same way that the moment when Saul was anointed king over Israel, David was immediately king when he was anointed king over Israel. David is the rightful king over Israel right now. The Lord has anointed him as king. Now, the difficulty for David is that there are currently two anointed kings living. Generally, you don't have two kings alive at the same time. It doesn't go well, especially if they're not from the same family. And so right now, all of Israel recognizes Saul as king, but the Lord recognizes David as king. And so the Lord wants David in his territory. The Lord wants David ruling and reigning over where he has anointed him to be. But for David, that's a problem because he's got a man who's trying to kill him. Every time David sets foot within the limits of Israel, Saul, when he finds out about him, he goes and he attacks him. He tries to kill him. And so here's David. He's finally just convinced his men, yes, we have to go back to Judah. And so now they're back in Judah. And we found out that Saul found out about that. He hasn't pursued him just yet, but he's found out that David is in Judah. And now he wants to go and save a town of Judah from the Philistines. And the Lord told him to go do it. And his men are like, "Are you crazy, David? It's hard enough for us just to be hiding out in Israel to begin with. Now you want us to go fight Israel's battles? You want us to go stick our neck out for these people who are going to turn on us?" And, if this had been Saul, what we've seen from his character so far would have been, "Yeah, you're right. Let's not do that." But David doesn't do that. He goes back to the Lord. He goes back and inquires of the Lord. And I love this because this is where human nature can fail us. You know, like Saul, he gave in to these voices of his men. We don't have recorded for us what his men said to him in the instances where he disobeyed. But here we have David's men's voices. And David listens to them. There's nothing wrong with listening to them. You know, Solomon tells us that there's wisdom in a multitude of counsel. So having people around you can listen to is very powerful. But you have to always consider what has the Lord spoken to you. And so David listens to his men. He takes it to heart. He's like, you know, you've got a good point there. But before he gives in to them, before he concedes that they're right and maybe whatever he heard from the Lord was wrong, he goes back to the Lord one more time and he says, should we do this? Lord, well, if we do this, will you give the Philistines into our hand? And the Lord says, yes, go do it. And so David comes back to his men and says, the Lord said we have to do it, so we're going to do it. I think that is so powerful. I love that, that David went back to the Lord and asked him, you know, so many times people will get intimidated when they feel like the Lord is calling them to do something, or when someone tells them, thus saith the Lord, you need to go do this, and they're too intimidated not to do it. It is okay to go back to the Lord and ask the Lord, say, Lord, is this really what you want me to do? Is this really what you have for me? Go back to the Lord. Go back to the Lord multiple times. Now, don't have in your heart to disobey like a Job or a Saul. But go to the Lord with an honest inquisition of him, saying, Lord, is this really where you're leading me? Because the Lord is good. He is so good. And just like David here, he will guide your steps if you set your heart to follow him. Let's continue on. Verse 7. Saul was told that David had gone to Caleb, and he said, God has delivered him into my hands, for David has imprisoned himself by entering a town with gates and bars. And Saul called up all his forces for battle to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. When David learned that Saul was plotting against him, he said to Abiathar the priest, bring the ephod. David said, Lord, God of Israel, your servant has heard definitely that Saul plans to come to Keilah and destroy the town on account of me. Will the citizens of Keilah surrender me to him? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? Lord God of Israel, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will. Verse 12, again David asked, will the citizens of Keilah surrender me and my men to Saul? And the Lord said, they will. So David and his men, about 600 in number, left Keilah and kept moving from place to place. When Saul was told that David had escaped from Keilah, he did not go there. Let's pause there for just 1 second. Understand here that, you know, Saul hears that David has gone and rescued a city of Judah from the Philistines. The Philistines had camped around. They laid siege. They're going to starve these people out in this great walled city. This was a southern defense border for Saul's kingdom. I mean, this is Saul's kingdom here, and Saul is not going to the defense of Keilah. This is Saul's job, to be protecting this city. It's one of his great cities. It's a city with walls and bars, and the Philistines have laid siege to it. They're going to starve them out and kill them all and then take a walled city. It's very difficult to regain ground like that if Saul loses it. But he wasn't concerned with that. But when he heard that David had gone and rescued them, which David did, that is when Saul mustered his entire army. Think about that. Saul has abdicated his responsibility to protect the nation of Israel, to protect the people of Israel, and instead has turned all of his attention on finding and killing David. And he actually, I mean, hear what he says to himself. He says, the Lord has handed David over to me. Saul actually thinks that this is the Lord working on his behalf. He has so twisted his own mind, his own thinking, that he actually now thinks that the Lord is on his side helping him, trying to kill this innocent man. That is how twisted the thinking of the enemy can become in our mind when we give ourselves over to it. When we stop listening to the Lord, when we stop setting our minds and our hearts on obedience to the Lord, what ends up happening is we are creatures of obedience. We will obey one master always. There's never a time where we will not be obedient to a master that we have. We are either obedient to Jesus, to the Father, or we will be obedient to our own wills. And if our own wills are not the will of the Father, then there's generally someone else who's running our life. More often than not, if we are not submitting our wills and our obedience to the Lord, we're submitting it to our own will, our own desires, which are sinful, which are the work of the enemy. And that is what Saul is doing. And he's so twisted and perverted his mindset that he actually thinks that that the Lord is honoring him and serving him and handing David up over to him. But David inquires of the Lord. I mean, he hears about this and he's just saved the people of Keilah. Now, I'll say that this is a great political move on David's part. David realizes he is the anointed king. The Lord's told him to go back to Judah. So maybe he's thinking, you know, maybe the Lord has me here to be protector of these people since Saul isn't doing anything. And so he sees that the city of Keilah is being attacked and he says, well, we've got to do something about this. And he asks the Lord. And the Lord tells him definitively to go do it. And then he goes there and he's apparently got spies. Remember that Saul's inner court, they loved David and they didn't want to tell Saul that they knew he was in Judah. They didn't want to tell Saul that, you know, he and Jonathan had this covenant together. They liked David. And so David more than likely has got a spy or two somewhere within Saul's court. And he hears that Saul is coming down to Keilah to kill him. And so when he goes to the Lord, he doesn't, I think it's very interesting. He says, I have heard definitively that Saul is coming to kill me. What have you heard, Lord? You know, he kind of puts an interesting question, but he still asks, Lord, I've heard these people who I know, they've told me that Saul is coming to kill me. Is that true? And the Lord says, yes. I love the brevity of the Lord's answers. David is asking the Lord very, very clear yes or no questions, and the Lord just gives him a yes or no. Very, very concise. I like that. That's very interesting. The Lord is not elaborating on David's questions. I wonder what would have happened if David said, well, where do I go now? He didn't ask the Lord that. He says, you know, are they going to come and attack me and attack this city on account of me? And the Lord says, yes, he will. And he says, will the people here surrender me up to Saul? Now understand what that means is Saul is going to come and destroy. He's going to now come and lay siege himself to this city that he should have been protecting from the Philistines having laid siege to it. But Saul is going to lay siege to it just so he can kill David, and he'll destroy the city in the process just to kill David. And so if you're a member of that city, you're probably thinking to yourself, you know, we don't really care if we're paying taxes to David or Saul, but we'd rather be alive to be able to do it. So if that means turning David over to Saul, we'll do that. That's the mindset behind that. You know, in the early days of the United States of America, or pre-United States of America and the Americas, the new colonies, the Dutch had settled a city that they called New Amsterdam. And it was one of the only non-British colonies in that area. And eventually the British decided that they wanted it. They wanted what is now called New York City. And so the Dutch West Indies Company owned it, and they had kind of a governor over it. But unfortunately for the Dutch and for this man, most of the people in New York City were not Dutch. They weren't Americans. They were foreigners from all over the world. And when the British sailed into the harbor and sent an ultimatum to the man and said to the governor of the Dutch West Indies Company and said, you know, we'll take this or we'll take it by force or you can surrender New Amsterdam to us. And he was going to fight, but then he realized all of the people told him and said, listen, we don't care if we pay taxes to the Dutch or to the British, but we're not fighting for you. And so the British took New Amsterdam without a gun being fired and renamed it to New York, which is what we know it as now. The same is true right here. These people, they don't care if David is going to be their king or Saul remains their king. They'd rather just be alive. And so they're going to turn David over to Saul if it comes to that. So David leaves. I just wonder what would have happened if David had said, Lord, where do we go now? And maybe he did ask that. Maybe he did, and we just aren't told that. But it just doesn't look like David asks that of the Lord. It's like he stopped short. Let's go ahead and finish this passage, verse 14. So David stayed in the wilderness strongholds and in the hills of the desert of Ziph. Day after day, Saul searched for him, but God did not give David into his hands. So we see here now David is going basically from cave to cave. He's going from these little fortresses, these little places, these outcroppings. And if you've ever seen pictures, if you ever traveled to the Holy Land, you probably know that this is very rugged terrain. It's, you know, there's no Air Force. There's no tanks. There's no drones that the Army can set out to go search in these caves. It's really rugged terrain, and it's a great place for David to hide. But the problem is Saul, his will is incredibly powerful right now, and he wants to find David at all costs. And so he is going to use the full extent of his resources. And understand that this army that he's raised up to search out for David is expensive. It's costly. He is looking for David at great expense and at the expense of actually governing his own nation, of actually protecting his own nation. Quite obviously, he's not interested in protecting the Israelites. He's only interested in killing David to preserve his own kingdom and his own neck. But the Lord does not give David over to him. The Lord has divine purpose for David, and the Lord is going to see it through, even though it causes great trouble for David and his men. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm glad you joined me. As always, I appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes. It's one of the best ways to let other people know about this podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.